This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys now on the DraftKings Network. We say hello, and you can view us over on Samsung TV Plus, over on Roku and Zumo Play as well. Femi Bebefe alongside the VP of Operations here at Circa, Mike Palm, and also VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick and national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes, the one and only Mike Pritchard joining us here in studio as we hang out triple option style here on our Football Friday. We do have a guest that's going to be joining us as well in 30 minutes. Michael Calabrese, college football betting analyst from the Action Network. We'll get his plays on all things college football. We will get into the college football slate. Michigan, Penn State, very interesting game over there in Happy Valley. Not a wideout, though. Interesting enough, though. It's a big noon kickoff game, so you up and early at it over in Happy Valley. But let's get to some of the bigger games in the NFL this weekend. And I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on this game in Jacksonville between the Niners and the Jaguars. Right now, San Francisco, a 3-point favorite, total sitting at 44.5 over at DraftKings. Where do you guys land on this game? But both teams coming off the bye, kind of going in opposite directions, though.
Go ahead, Pritch.
Well, I mean, the 49ers, and Chad Brown alluded to this, I mean, they're tinkering still. You know, Wilkes is under, well, is he moving from the booth down to the sideline now? Nope. So they're not a finished product. And I think when you get into November, the mid part of November into December, you want to start getting hot. But San Francisco's tinkering defensively, which is fascinating with me, with personnel, right? And I don't know what that's indicating. Offensively, taking a step back to, obviously, it's some injuries did that in terms of the hot start that they had. The thing about this game is, I don't want to say people are sleeping on Jacksonville, but they might be. They might not be accepting the fact that Jacksonville's defense is one of the better defenses in National Football League right now. And they're physical. And then on offense, they got this transcendent player who played in college, and he was a transcendent type of player at quarterback. And now it seems like his confidence is changing too. And the accompanying players that he has around him, ATN is incredible. And I think Peterson's starting to understand those guys and what they're capable of. The receivers, you can put that receiving core, including the tight end, against a lot of people. Now, the offensive line is where you have concerns from a matchup standpoint in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville's offensive line against Bosa at this point, and all these names that the 49ers are tinkering with. So I got this as a close game underneath the field goal. I mean, I like the points with Jacksonville.
Yeah, I know you're on San Francisco, right?
Yep.
This is your play of the century. You said your favorite play of the year
so far.
10-star
lock, right? Of the season. It is my favorite bet of the season.
Wow. I thought you were going to say favorite bet of the week. He said favorite bet of the season.
He's been a Jacksonville hater, though.
So I have been. I've been a Jacksonville. So Duval County, come at me. Favorite play of the season.
Well, and then you got Pritch into that. He's the underachieving Jacksonville Jaguar. Here's your underachieving Jaguars. 14-3 in their last 17 regular season games. Yeah. If Chad Henne doesn't go 97 yards at Arrowhead, they're probably in the AFC championship game, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I would rather take the field goal here, but I'm on the under 44.5. Mm-hmm. We've seen Purdy have some struggles. This game, the Chiefs came down there in week two in perfect weather. That game was 17-9. I think this is a low scoring game. I think this is 21-17. I think this is a tight game, like you said. So I don't want to lay the 3. If 2.5 is a different story, I don't want to lay a whole field goal. I think it's a close, low scoring game. I'm in the under here. That'll be one of my contest plays for Matt as well.
But aren't some of the woes for the 49ers due to injury with like Trent Williams, who's missed the last couple of games, also didn't finish the game against Cleveland? Like, because I just keep going back to the, when the Niners were healthy, mm-hmm, the first 5 weeks of the season, they looked like the best team in the NFL.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the last 3 weeks, they weren't healthy. And then they started to get some slippage. And even with the slippage, a couple plays go different ways. If Moody makes the kick in Cleveland, they win that game. And then if they also kind of don't turn the football over in Minnesota, maybe if they don't have that gaffe at the end of the first half, maybe they win that game as well. Like, it feels like it's been a couple plays here and there that all of a sudden has now jump-started this 3-game losing streak. Now, the Bengal game, nothing to say about that. Cincinnati kind of kicked their tails. But that's Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I don't think Jacksonville is Cincinnati in that regard. So like I like laying it here. I think with Trent Williams back, and he got back to practice yesterday, Deebo Samuel's back as well, I think their physicality will be back. And the Niners offense that was so efficient in the first 5 weeks, I think we see that offense once again on Sunday.
Well, the thing about injuries, Fim, is Trent and that ankle, it's going to bother him. He's still going to play hurt, right? He's able to play. whereas the pain and all this stuff or limitations from the significant injury is going to keep him out of a game or keep him neutralized. But he's still going to have to deal with it, right? And so it's like the I think, and I don't know if bettors have this perception that, oh, he's back, that means he's 100%. No, no. You're never 100% going through a 17-game schedule. So can he suck it up enough and play well enough against Josh Allen and all those other guys up front for Jacksonville?
I would say if and ands were pots and pans, the whole world would be a kitchen in your whole city. I didn't care if they won those three games, yeah. Okay? I still wouldn't want to lay three in this spot yeah. going across the country, playing a very solid Jacksonville team that's, to your point, overlooked.
Yeah.
Overlooked. And we say, who's the best? Is Kansas City the best? Is it Cleveland? Is it Baltimore? Miami? How about Jacksonville? Yeah. How about they have a right to make a claim to being the best in the AFC?
So I ask you that, and then I also ask you this. What is Jacksonville's, what is their signature win? I'm looking at their schedule right now. Their signature win so far this season is beating Buffalo overseas in London. Buffalo, what we're watching the last month.
Well, they got
does
a guy.
Look good?
They got a guy everybody thinks is the MVP. Yeah.
They do have
they beat him. I mean, they took their good travel schedule team. Sure.
They beat the midseason MVP. But like honestly, though, they beat the Colts twice. Sorry to our producer, Elliot. The hashtag for the shoe is not very good this year. They beat the Falcons, who everyone wants to run Arthur Smith off his job, and rightfully so. New Orleans is New Orleans. I mean, they needed five turnovers to beat Bajent. And then they beat the Steelers, outgain anybody.
The Steelers is their signature win to me.
Is that impressive?
To go into Heinz Field and win by two scores?
Yeah.
The Steelers muck up everything.
Yeah, they do.
They're not an easy team. And it was a bad weather game, yeah. too. I think that's their signature. Right. I get your point. Here's the thing that's incredible to me is that this is your best play of the year. It's okay, you know, and usually you like dogs and you like yeah. ugly dogs and that. This is your best play of the year.
I think that this is San Francisco at a discount. And I said, hey, if you're going to give me the Niners at a discount against Jacksonville, I'm going to take it every single day. Let's see what happens.
Would you play this on one of those pleaser cards where you like lay 9.5 at those along? You know what I mean? You're very confident in this pick, right?
Yeah.
Alternate line minus 6.5. Would you
minus 6.5 is honestly interesting.
I mean, if you could take
what's the number?
If you could take 180,
180,
6.5. Half. What would it take? $2?
I think $2.
Okay.
$2, that'd be interesting.
Pretty confident.
I just like the Niners. I think after those losses, I think we've forgotten how good this team is now that they're once again whole and healthy. And they've added a little bit of Chase Young to go ahead on the other side of Nick Bosa. I think they're going to get after Trevor
Along with Gregory and who else? Who else
they signed? They got the whole crew.
So
Armstead.
So do you like them to win the NFC then is what you're saying? You think this is the best team?
I still think they're the best team in the NFC. Mm-hmm. At least as we sit here at the midseason point. Now, maybe the Eagles make me shut up, but I still think the 49ers, until we see them struggle as healthy, I still have them as the best team in the NFC. Speaking of which, the best team maybe in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens. We talked about this game with our guest Chad Brown in the first hour, but I want to get your guys' thoughts. Baltimore is now 6.5-point favorite across the board. Actually, 6 still here at Circa if you want to go ahead and lay it with Baltimore. Total 38, though. How do you guys see this one with the midseason MVP versus the midseason defensive player of the year?
You know, all my future bets on the positive side were on Cleveland. I don't think I was wrong about how good the defense is, and yet the offense can't stay on the field. And that was the problem, even though it was Walker, you know, you can't convert third downs. They're the worst third down team. That defense can't play 34 minutes, not against a team like the Ravens. And the Ravens, to me, they look like the best team in football. Forget the AFC. This has been a dominant performance on both sides of the ball. There's a lot to like about them. I laid 6.5. I think maybe now I'm going to go tease them and tease up Jacksonville just so I can be squarely aligned against Femi in this game. Because I don't want to root against him if I don't have a play. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is my best play of the weekend is the Ravens.
No, I mean, I teased Baltimore last week. So, I mean, the thing about Baltimore, nobody's talking about their offensive line fully intact. I mean, Staley back there. And you look at the offensive line for Cleveland, they're banged up and Chubb's gone. So it's not the same offense. And Deshaun Watson is not going to turn back the clock 4 or 5 years and all of a sudden be a miracle maker out there. So I think Cleveland's kind of neutralized in what they can evolve to. Stefanski is just not that kind of coach or play caller. And I think Baltimore just has it going. They are clicking. Mm-hmm. Lamar is in full control of this offense. He's very confident too. And he's got a contingent of players around him that can make plays, you know, and if all of them play in their A game, I think they could blow out Cleveland, to be honest with you.
They did the first time in Cleveland.
They did. Yeah. Yeah, it was a 28-3. Yeah. I believe. Also, that was Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback. But Watson hasn't been much better, to be quite honest. Right. He hasn't been much better behind center. Injury notes on the Cleveland Browns offensive line. DeJuan James at right tackle. He has not practiced all week long. Mm-hmm. And then Jedrick Wills, who we saw go on IR last week. So we could be looking at two backup offensive tackles for the Cleveland Browns. Maybe this hits seven by the time we get to the weekend.
I keep thinking it's going to.
I think we might get there. I mean, who's stepping in front of Baltimore? I did last week, and I learned in 15 minutes I'm going to lose my bet.
Who's going to? You didn't have to sweat it.
I didn't have to sweat.
Nope.
I said, hey, lose it, whatever. Don't have to watch the game. But who wants to step in front of them? I think we close seven here with the Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns.
Their defensive front is phenomenal too.
It is really good.
Yeah.
They got Clowney playing well. They signed him in August.
Right.
Like, what's going on? Let's talk about though the Cincinnati Bengals. Sorry, against the Houston Texans. Cincinnati, they have injuries at wide receiver and at pass rusher. T. Higgins has been ruled out. Sam Hubbard, their secondary pass rusher, he's been ruled out. Sounds like Chase questionable, but it looks like he'll be able to go. They're laying 6.5 against the upstart Houston Texans. 47 is our total. Can Houston hang with one of the AFC big boys?
I won't play this game. To me, the intrigue is: will this be the most popular play in Survivor? If you didn't have the injuries, you might have 850 because everybody has them available. They never could use it with Burrow injured early in the year. So I think there's 1120. That's why it's a lot of theory right now for you, Finn. But I think it's 1120 out of 1150 have this team left, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So, but now it becomes interesting because with the injuries, now if you have Dallas and Detroit, you probably use Dallas. But if you don't, and you can't use Dallas because you only have them, you don't have Detroit, then I think this is your survivor play.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because of what they evolved into, and now that could be slowed down a bit because of injury. And they can't run the ball dominantly like they need to, right? And I'm curious about Houston. Mass unit, but curious about taking the points with Houston, though.
We'll wrap up our NFL discussion to wrap up the show, but coming up next, we'll get into the marquee games in college football.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on a Football Friday. Let's transition, gentlemen, over to college football because we do have a big game that'll be kicking off the action Saturday morning over in Happy Valley as Michigan, the number 3 ranked team in the country, according to the College Football Playoff Committee, will take on Penn State in a top 10 showdown in the Big Ten East. Wolverines right now 4-point favorites over at DraftKings. Total is at 45. So many weird narrative angles, I think, that you could play with this game. I'm curious to see where you guys land with this big game in the Big Ten.
I'm curious to see where Pritch lands, too. I know where I am, but I'm curious to see where he lands.
Well, I mean, everybody's waiting for Penn State to take that next step. And it's like, oh, is this going to be the game?
We've been waiting a decade.
Oh, right. They've evolved with the quarterback situation. Okay. But I didn't see that against Ohio State.
Not at all.
I didn't see any of that. Right. And for any time for that to happen, I should have saw that then. Running the ball. Okay. Michigan, we know Michigan can run the football. And I think when you travel that way, running the football, when you have that type of mindset, you're looking to dominate. So I don't know if 4.5 is enough. To be honest with you, I like Michigan in this game.
I made this game 6.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned because a lot of people lining up here to bet Penn State. I find it curious. I saw in Bill 80's email, I mean, I don't think there was a Michigan play of the people who put their picks in early of our analysts here this week. It was all Penn State. I like Michigan. It starts with small games, James. Mm-hmm. They don't win these games. But more concerning was the play calling at Ohio State. They would not throw the football on their own side of the field. Not till they got to midfield did they take any chances which you can't do that against Michigan. You're not going to be able to line up the ball and run it down there. They're going to have to take chances throwing the ball. And unless Michigan turns the ball over three or more times, I don't think that they can stay with them in this spot. I don't think they score much either. I think this is a game that looks like another Ohio State game where you're looking at, 27-10. I don't mind the under either here, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I like Michigan here.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you parlay Michigan with the under?
Like, I never parlay a favorite with the under. Yeah, just because of the mathematics of it. It gives you a short window. It maybe if it's under a field goal, mm-hmm. but no, I wouldn't do it in this spot.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you guys as well, which maybe we're missing the boat on Penn State here, but I think Penn State's got to prove it to us that they can win these types of games. And if you're going to bet plus 4.5, you're pretty much saying that they're going to be competitive to the point to where they might actually be able to win, which I don't see how that happens. Like, based on what we've seen from Michigan so far this season, and I get the schedule has been cupcake city. Like, they have played.
Who's their best win? I picked up on somebody. They said Rutgers. I said it's UNLV. UNLV is their best win, actually.
But it's a continuation of what they've been, though, right? It's not like, the schedule is a schedule. Penn State, I've been waiting for Penn State to break out since Bo Nix and Auburn went up there years ago. And that didn't happen. So I don't want to wait on Penn State to break out, right? And I don't think they're going to break out against Michigan.
I remember that game very vividly because I had met Metcalf on. Amal was out on a Friday, so then they would let me have four guests and just interview people. And so I had Metcalf comes in, who, by the way, is just terrific when you can get him on. Mm-hmm. And he told me his real number on that game was 12. He thought Penn State should just kill them in this game. And I remember watching the game. I know there were SEC refs went up there. And it was, though. Remember, it was an SEC crew.
Yeah, I think it was a whiteout,
but
too. Right?
It was. Yeah. But Auburn stayed right with them right to the end of the game. And a good point. That's a good call there.
Yeah, and I can't get there with Penn State. They're going to have to show it to me before I can even think that they could win this sort of a game here. And Michigan, like we said, haven't played anybody, but still their efficiency numbers and all that stuff far surpasses what we've seen from the Nittany Lions. How about Ole Miss and Georgia? The Georgia Bulldogs are 10.5-point favorites, the consensus number. Total is at 58. Ole Miss has kind of been like quietly lurking in the SEC West or so. Only a one-loss team now in the top 10. A big game out there for Ole Miss, but we'll see what happens here. Now they're going between the hedges against a Georgia team that's getting a lot more comfortable letting Carson Beck throw the football down the field.
Yeah, I think Georgia can score here. I just don't think the Mississippi defense is good enough. Mm-hmm. And Georgia got tested by Missouri last week.
Yep, look,
I mean, Georgia's had to overcome slow starts. They trailed in the second half. I just don't trust the Mississippi defense enough. I mean, you shouldn't give up 31 points or whatever they did to A&M at home last week. So I'm not going to play the game. But if Georgia wins by 3 scores, I wouldn't be shocked.
I mean, the thing about that, though, is I'd be inclined to take the points here a little bit because, Georgia, they do start off slow way too many times. But they get it going, and then Kirby, he'll come up with some type of blitz that will propel the Bulldogs, right? He'll come up with some timely play defensively, which he's able to do that with those type of athletes. And therefore, as far as winning the game, this is going to be a compelling game to me in terms of if Ole Miss can rally together enough and play a solid game for at least 3 quarters. Then that's why I would be compelled to take the points here.
Yeah, I feel like Georgia. And it's hard to say that they've been overlooked since they're the two-time defending national champions. Uh-huh. But there's been so much conversation about the Big Ten teams, about the Pac-12 teams. Even there's been conversation about Alabama. Like, it feels like we've just forgotten that Georgia feels like they haven't lost in forever. And they just win a bunch of games and they win these big games. So I think Georgia goes out there and reminds everybody why they're one of the best teams in the country in this spot. We'll see what happens. Speaking of the Pac-12 teams, Washington hosting Utah in a mid-afternoon time slot. Fun game over there in Seattle. Huskies laying 8.5, total 49.5. And I'm curious to see what we see from Washington in this game because you go from last week's track meet up and down the field. Everyone feels comfortable. And now you come to a phone booth facing the Utah U2. Yes, they're not at Rice-Eccles, but their physicality still travels. Do you think this is a game that the Utes can keep this thing close and maybe give the Huskies a scare?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know in this game because I want to say no. I want to say that in Husky Stadium, this is going to be too much for them without a prolific offense to stay with Washington. But Washington's not going to be able to run the ball like they did against you. They've just said, look, we know we can run the ball against you. Why take any chances? And they actually went out and ran the ball. I think Washington checks the box and moves on to the Pac-12 championship game against Oregon. I'm not sure what to do with the point spread here. So I'm not getting involved in this game because I do respect Whittingham. I mean, I really do. But I look at what Oregon did to them at Rice Eccles. I mean, he basically conceded that game in the second half. Yeah. He was running out the clock in the down three scores in the fourth.
Tapping out.
He had no shot. I mean, which I respect him thinking how good Oregon was, you know.
Yeah, it's not the strongest Utah team. I mean, Utah has been sneaky in terms of recruiting, and really Whittingham has put together some solid teams over the years. This one's just not that type of caliber team. And to go on the road against a high-powered outfit like Washington, for Washington to just drop off or play down from a level that they've achieved, that's going to be hard to do, in my opinion, because they can run it. And I think once you run the ball against SC the way that they did, that opens up a lot more things. And certainly with Penix playing that way too, high efficient quarterback, it could be too much. I know the line's come down, right? It was at 9.
Yeah.
Now it's at 8 here on the screen. I thought it could be 6. That was earlier in the week, but it's not going to do that. I mean, I just from a letdown standpoint, but no, I like Washington in the game.
If we get Oregon Washington here in Vegas for the Pac-12 and a berth in the playoff, it will be for a berth in the playoff. Yeah. They can't get shut out.
No,
Texas,
I hope you're right.
Texas will be the odd team out, I think.
You think so?
Yeah,
that brand.
You're not putting a one loss Texas in over a one loss Oregon, and Washington obviously is going to go in if they're undefeated. Do you think Oregon will be a full field goal favorite? I do.
I think it'll be more than that.
You think it'll be more than a field goal in that game?
Honestly?
Pac-12 Pac-12 championship.
Based on what we've seen, why can't it be 6?
I have to tell you that Oregon's my number one team. I think they're the best team in the country.
They're really good.
And if they don't make it, Dan Lanning cost them this season with those decisions. Chasing those points all the way and the ridiculous call at the end of the half to roll him all the way across the field and make sure he only got one play. Which ludicrous. There was 8 Huskies in that corner of the end zone by the time Knicks got to the other half.
Sprint right. Let's do it.
A ludicrous play.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
And a horrible play on third down in that last drive. The run into the middle of the line on third and 2.
I mean, Bo Nix might be -300 to win the Heisman had they won
minus
that game.
-800.
Maybe. Yeah. I do think that this is a little bit of a tricky game for Washington, though. Just because of Utah's physicality. And, like, I am a Husky fan. Like, I obviously want the program to do really well, but this team, I don't think, is very physical. And when you play USC, that's fine. You can put up 50 points.
What about when they played Oregon?
When you played Oregon, but we saw Oregon outplayed them. It was a lot of it. Dan Lanning kind of screwing it up there.
Right.
I don't think Utah can score like Oregon scored. So I think Washington will still win.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if this is like a touchdown game or something like that. Like, I think Utah's physicality, bringing Washington into the phone booth, I think it keeps it a little bit closer than the market thinks.
You go back and look at Washington in the non cover in Tucson, and you have a little more respect for that game now, as well as Arizona. Arizona's very good.
I remember watching that game. I was like, God, if you can't beat Arizona, then you fast forward to November and it's like, oh, that's actually a really good win. That's a really good win on the road down there in Tucson. We will get to more college football on the other side. Michael Calabrese, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network, will give us his card and thoughts on the biggest games next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook. This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Paul, Mike Pritchard having fun here on a Football Friday. And to help us break down the college football card, we bring it in another Mike, Michael Calabrese, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network. Michael, we appreciate you joining us as always. Let's get into the big Pac-12 game that you have on your card. This one is a Pac-12 after dark showdown, USC at Oregon. The Ducks right now 16-point favorites at home, total 76 here. Is this just that USC's defense is not going to be able to hang with these guys, or how do you see this one breaking down?
Unless you believe in a dead cat bounce with this USC defense, you got to play the Ducks laying the points here. Even though Alex Grinch is out as their defensive coordinator, it's the same cast of characters that ranks 123rd in explosives allowed and critically 104th in success rate against the run. And obviously, even with Bucky Irving banged up, Oregon's going to want to run all game. And I don't think there's any way that USC can slow him down. You know, if Jordan James ends up getting the start, he was a four-star kid coming out of high school. I think he has no problem going for triple digits in this game against the Trojans defense. And really, when you get into the weeds a little bit, last year, the USC defense had similar issues, but their calling card was that they finished sixth in takeaways in the country. They're down to 46th in that department this year. So they're just not getting off the field, whether it stops or turning other teams over. And Oregon this year has been phenomenal, and Bo Nix has been really, really good at home. So I see more of that for the Ducks here, and just a runaway win for a USC team that, with nothing left to play for, no Pac-10 or, you know, Pac-12 title game appearance, no college football playoff appearance, I think it's white flag time for USC.
Michael, I'm curious about your play tonight in the American, with North Texas catching the points against SMU. Preston Stone and the Mustangs still undefeated, three-way tie atop the conference. They put up some big point totals, and we know that North Texas has struggled on defense. Why do you like the points in this spot?
So let's assume that Preston Stone clears the concussion protocol and that he's a go in this game. At this point, it's still unknown. He's questionable. But even if he were to play, the Mean Green are 5-0 against the spread in the American, and it's pretty simple. The reason why they've been able to cover every single conference game is their offense is electric. And Chandler Rogers, I'm giving him this title right now, he's the king of garbage time. In the fourth quarter this year, UNT leads the country in fourth quarter points in the last 2 months, over 14 points per game. And when you look at their offense holistically, they're 21st in scoring, 9th in total offense, and tied 10th nationally in plays of 20 yards or more. So when I look at the, you know, chance for them to get a backdoor cover, it's going to be wide open for this entire game against an SMU team that is undefeated in conference play. They're definitely in the thick of it in the AAC. And there's a little bit of a look ahead factor, because next week they go on the road to Memphis, a game that's going to be critical and will determine if they make it to the AAC title game. So in a game where they're probably going to be in cruise control in third and fourth quarter, I could see them taking their foot off the accelerator, getting some snaps for their backup quarterback, whether Stone starts or not. And with all those factors, I like UNT plus at this point in the markets, you know, 19.5. I've seen even 20.5 floating around.
Michael, sticking with your best bets here, you know, Colorado State and SDSU is an interesting matchup, considering what's happening in the Mountain West Conference with those two teams. It's 3.5, laying 3.5 with Colorado State. What are you looking at?
So this is the time of year when you look for those teams that need to make the last second push for bowl eligibility, and CSU needs to win out, but they have the tin cans in front of them to get it done. They got San Diego State, Nevada, and Hawaii, and I think their 3-6 overall record belies the fact that they're pretty electric on offense. They're the 9th rated passing offense with Braden Fowler Nicolosi at quarterback, and as a freshman, he makes freshman mistakes. They're 107th in an interception rate. But San Diego State, critically this year, has taken a huge step back on the defensive side of the ball. This is one of the best G5 defenses for the last 5 years. They're all the way down to 128th in defensive success rate. And if they do get down, this offense is horrific. They're 132nd in explosives generated. They basically have a converted safety at quarterback. So I don't see, you know, them being able to get back in the game if Braden Fowler and Nicolosi can get hot early. And the last part of it is that Colorado State, in the last three games, they've been close to breaking through. They almost beat a UNLV team, losing at the buzzer on a field goal to a UNLV team that's probably going to win 8 or 9 games this year. They were tied at halftime with Air Force, and they only lose by 9 against Wyoming. So I think if there's any opportunity for them to break through in Jay Norvell year two, this is it. This is the springboard game. And I think it's going to be a bit of a neck crack for their offense that can really hit the big plays. I see them running up 450, 500 yards on a listless Aztec defense.
But we're hanging out with Michael Calabrese, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network, breaking down his college football card. I know you don't have this game as one of your best bets, but it is the marquee game of the day in college football tomorrow afternoon. That's Michigan at Penn State. Wolverines, 4-point favorites over at DraftKings, total 45. Any lean for you or thought on the side of the total in this game? Which the narratives will be all over the place with Harbaugh. We think he's out on the plane. Who knows what's happening with this Michigan program here? But anything for you, Michigan, Penn State, side or total?
If this was a whiteout game and it was a night game in Happy Valley, I'd consider Penn State. But I think when you look at James Franklin's track record against Ohio State and Michigan, he's 4-15 straight up, and he's 2-7 against the spread when facing Michigan. He's basically the opposite of the old Bob Stoops, big game Bob narrative. He just kind of wilts in these situations, which is interesting because I think he's made really heady coordinator hires. I really love Manny Diaz on the defensive side. And Mike Yurcich, you know, worked magic in Stillwater, particularly with pocket passers. And early in the season, I thought that's exactly what he was doing with Aller, but they just refuse to go downfield. They're still in the bottom 10% of college football teams in terms of their ADOT, which is average distance of target. So they're just not stretching teams in that way. And this Michigan defense is too good. If they're playing downhill and they know that every pass is going to be, you know, inside of 12 yards, kind of that pickleball offense, so to speak, I think the Wolverines are going to eat them up. They're going to be able to grind out a win, so I wouldn't mind laying the points.
Michael, I want to switch to the Big 12, another 9 a.m. Pacific kick on Fox Sports 1. Texas Tech and Joey McGuire are taking on Kansas. I thought last week was going to be a really tough spot for Kansas coming off the huge win over Oklahoma and having to go to Jack Trice at night, but they went wire to wire against a Cyclone team with a pretty good defense that's been on the improve under Matt Campbell. Now come home laying 4 against Tech.
Yeah, this is another play. I think I'd go with Kansas in this spot. I think it's just a huge coaching advantage. Leipold has proven, you know, in his last two stops that he's somebody who just does not get beaten in terms of the game planning element of his, you know, the game to game stretch. And at quarterback, too, the fact of the matter is when they went to Bean, I thought there was going to be a pretty big drop off, and there just hasn't been. They've been able to generate offense and consistency. And Texas Tech is that team, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum. Because of injuries at quarterback, they've been inconsistent. So I'll just go ahead and roll with the better coach and the better quarterback at this point.
Michael, I want to get one last SEC game off you here before you get out of here. Tennessee and Missouri. Right now, Mizzou is a 3-point dog at DraftKings, total of 59. How do you see the Tigers kind of trying to bounce back after a pretty impressive effort last week against Georgia?
So this is another player availability question that is going to keep my money on the sideline right up until kickoff. Luther Burden III is so critical to this Mizzou passing attack. He's somebody who is in the mix to lead the country in receiving yards per game. He's dinged up, and Drinkwitz has been a little bit cagey with the media about his availability in this game. If he's not able to go, and you know the defensive focus from Tennessee is going to be in that backfield and putting more pressure on Brady Cook, I'm wary of playing Mizzou in this spot, even at home. And I think Tennessee, because they're, you know, not quite up to the same standard as the heights that they reached under Hendon Hooker, I think a lot of people are just kind of selling them in terms of their overall ceiling. I don't feel that way. I think their offense is still quite balanced. And I think if they're playing a nearly one-dimensional Mizzou offense without Burden in the slot and moving them all over and gadget plays and everything else that he means to that offense, I think Tennessee becomes a strong play in this spot.
Tennessee gives Georgia a run for their money next week there.
Can I ask you one question, Mike? It's an oddball one, so it's not a specific game.
Fire away.
What Power 5 conference champion this year will be the most surprising to people right now? So what team is going to be at the longest odds that'll win a Power 5 championship?
So that is an interesting question. I think I would probably opt for something wacky to happen in the Big 12. At this point, when you look at the fact that Oklahoma has fallen back and that Texas is still in a precarious position because of their quarterback situation, is Ewers really ready to go this weekend? If not, do they roll with Malik Murphy and try to, you know, tailor their game plan more to him? I think that could open the door for a team to win outside of the Texas and Oklahoma narrative that we've basically been talking about since Red River. And I think for that reason, that would probably generate, you know, it, at the very least, the most interesting conference championship matchup of the Power 5 conferences.
Yeah, feels like we're in for something wacky in the Big 12, but that's how that conference always plays out. You know, who had Kansas State winning the Big 12 last year? Not me. He is Michael Calabrese, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network. Check out all his work. Michael, we appreciate you joining us, and good luck with the bets this Saturday.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. Good stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Could the ACC get wacky?
Well, why? It's going to be, well, you know the two teams. I mean, Louisville's the longest of the presumptive teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, could
other than Iowa. But
could Louisville beat Florida State?
I don't think so. That was a sharp play last night, too, and I couldn't figure out why. Virginia. That was a sharp play. And they were ahead late.
I was going to say, they should have won the game. Probably won the game. We'll see what happens in the ACC. Where on paper, it looks like it's a cakewalk for Florida State, but we know college football, nothing is ever as easy as it seems. Well, let's wrap up the show and break down some more NFL games on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets or where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on this Football Friday. Triple option style. Always fun with you guys. Always flies by these 2 hours, but it's a fun 2 hours, though, to head into the weekend. We do thank our two guests that joined us here on the program, former NFL All-Pro Chad Brown, now NFL and college football analyst over at Westwood One. He joined us in the first hour. And then thank you to Michael Calabrese, who joined us in the last segment, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network. But let's get into some of these NFL games. And you asked me this on my hit on primetime last night, if I would lay 17 with the Dallas Cowboys. Well, it's currently 17 and a half right now. Dallas is a 17 and a half point favorite against the New York Giants. Inexplicably, this is America's game of the week in the late afternoon window. I'm not sure who scheduled this, but totals 39, 38 and a half, depending on where you do your shopping. You did bring up a good point, though, about this Cowboys team, about their front running mentality, to where maybe this big number isn't too big based on what we've seen when they played inferior opponents.
Well, they won in they covered this number easily in it at MetLife opening night in the rain against Daniel Jones.
Boy, did they cover that number easily, that 3.5.
Yeah, well, but I don't think this is an outrageous number when you have DeVito. I mean, Francesa's rant a couple weeks ago after the Jets, he's completely right. How do you keep a guy on the roster that can't even attempt to throw the ball to wide receivers? Mm-hmm. I mean, how would you ever take the points here? I wouldn't.
Nope.
Would people consider teasing Dallas down to 10? I know you're not supposed to do it at these big numbers, mm-hmm. right? But I actually may have this in as a contest play and lay the 17 with Dallas. Sure, because this is what they do. It's just like James Franklin. He covers against bad teams. This is what Dallas does. They, especially at home, they get on top, and they're great front runners. Dak's very good with the lead. Dak's very good when he only has to throw the ball 18 to 20 times a game. They're very good. Look at all the numbers. Giants are awful. DeVito's got no chance of winning.
I agree with all that. And then I'll throw in the fact that, Wink, you can't blitz your way to a freaking victory.
I'm starting to understand that the wide receivers' most passionate opinions are about DCs.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they are.
Because that's what we study. And the tendencies of all that. I mean, what is he going to sit back and play zone all day?
No, he would never.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I just personally won't lay it. But I could see how you got there, though.
So to your point, Mike, in Dallas, in 4 of their 5 wins, they would have covered this number of 17. 40 to nothing against the Giants week 1, 30 to 10 week 2 against the Jets, 38-3 against New England in week 4, and then week 8, 43 to 20 against the Rams. Like, this is what they do. When they play bad teams, they bully them, and it's looking like it might be another. Would you play like the alt line that you asked me? Like, would you play like a little like lay 21 and a half?
Why not? Like, well, why not? When it gets out of hand, you think DeVito's going to manufacture some late points for backdoor cover?
Backdoor DeVito.
I mean, seriously.
Hey, you never know.
It's really bad. I mean,
how is he starting over Barkley, by the way, anyway?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, look, Barkley's bad, but he ain't DeVito bad.
No.
Why did they take the ball in overtime against the Jets? Why wouldn't they have kicked off? And they get a holding penalty, and he throws two passes behind the line of scrimmage on second and third and 20. I mean, just punt on third down and hope to get a roll.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to a game that could be really good.
Are you going to? I want to talk about this game in Seattle.
Oh, you want to talk about the game in Seattle?
I do, because I know Del Rio is another one of your favorite.
It's like a sworn enemy between Rich and Del Rio. It's a rival.
This Commanders team is a feisty dog, right? They're good on the road as a dog. I know, Femi, you laid it.
Yep.
You laid it here. Yeah. I had them last week at New England. They won outright. Mm-hmm. I took the 3. I don't want them at home as a small favorite over bad teams, or, you know, like they haven't been good in that role, but I just think they move the ball against everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the kid at quarterback, man, he's been very, very good. And we don't talk about it, right? Sam Howell. He's been very good. And because this team is in Midland and you're talking about Rivera, going to fire Rivera, I don't know. I think they might be able to keep this game close. But I was interested to get your take because I know Femi already laid the points.
Well, there's something going on with this offense. Yep. I mean, I don't know if they're lacking identity or not. Is DK playing? I know he's banged up with the hip.
He didn't practice yesterday, yeah. So that's a concern.
Right, right.
DK Metcalf.
Smith and Jigba dropped a pass. I don't know where he is from a rookie standpoint. It seems like Geno is inconsistent too. Now, can they just go back and rely on a running game and run it against the Commanders? They should. But you're right about offensively for the Commanders. I mean, I think they're feisty because of who's calling the plays. That's just who Eric is. But then also they're not disciplined enough too sometimes. And this type of game on the road, if Seattle had the home field advantage that they used to have, it'd be a no-brainer in terms of laying it. But I'm reluctant to lay it just because I don't.
You're talking about the kingdom. I mean, you remember.
Well, no, I'm talking about Legion of Boom. Not that far. I don't go back that far all the time.
You played the kingdom for
I
guys.
Did. I did.
Shout out to the kingdom.
Yeah, right. Shout out to the kingdom. That's right. That's right. And by the way, YouTube wormhole, the fights between baseball teams, I've been doing that. It's been spectacular, by the way. Anyway, I digress a little bit. But no, I Seattle just isn't that team at home like they used to be.
So one of the reasons why I laid it is that I think Seattle is just an above average football team. Mm-hmm. When they play good teams and step up in competition, I don't know if they can hang. But when they play teams that are inferior, like the Commanders are, they can put a number on this team. Like the Commanders' defense is not good.
It should be better, but it's not good. Can they overcome?
We'll get Pritch's thoughts.
They've changed everything except the obvious person that they should change.
But even in the game though last week, when like I took the points as well with Washington, there's opportunities to make plays, but New England's offense is New England's
could
offense.
Not take advantage.
They're not going to take advantage of it. Seattle can. Yeah. I think Geno Smith can take advantage of it. Yeah. So I like this spot as land.
It's interesting because I also think in the other game later is very interesting to me. The full three Detroit lane. That's hard for me to get the three.
That's
why
I wanted
spot,
to get your thoughts on that.
That's a good matchup.
Lions laying three.
Yeah, no, this is a great matchup. I like the Chargers, to be honest with you.
Me too.
Just because they're identical, like, and the matchups too are interesting to me. Defensively, Detroit's kind of taken a step back recently, whereas the Chargers, they brought the physical play on the road, which surprised me last week against the Jets. And
I was impressed.
Yeah, I was impressed by how physical they got.
It felt like they just didn't screw it up, and like the Jets were just gonna.
That's okay.
When you can simplify the game and run it and be physical, and then okay, let's control it that way. And then let your defense do what they needed to do anyway. So by simplifying things, it's like Staley has realized how much talent he has on the field. He doesn't have to overcomplicate it with scheme.
Pritch, on Halloween night in McDaniel's last game, the whole first, 25 minutes of that game, it was all weighted. The whole game was played on there, and they were only down 9-0. Remember they kicked, and they came out and just gave Jacobs the ball the whole drive. They went right down the field. Mm-hmm. Never even faced a third down. Boom, 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 touchdown. He carried the ball three more times the rest of the game. I think you can run the ball on the Lions.
I think
San Diego will be balanced in this game.
Well, but are we also looking at 85% Lions fans there? Because the Lions fans took over Lambeau Field.
They travel.
If you can take over Lambeau Field.
Maybe if it was in San Diego with all the Chaldeans. I don't know how many will come all the way to L.A.
Gonna come to L.A.? some sunshine in November? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be like, 75 degrees out there? Have a nice weekend on the West Coast.
You're not going to be involved in that game?
I would lean to the Chargers from the numbers standpoint, which is why I'm not going to be involved because I still don't trust the Chargers.
Mm. Pritch, you're going to be at Allegiant for Raiders.
I am.
And Jets, you're going to have a play on the game?
Or are you going to plead the fifth like Robert Saleh?
No. I think.
Have you ever had a head coach say, why don't you change course? I plead the fifth.
Have you ever had a head coach like that?
You've never seen anything like what goes on in today's NFL.
And I said I would play for the guy, too.
Yeah.
Because he puts it out there. Now he doesn't want to put it out there.
That
scares me a little bit.
I don't want to play him.
No, you know. So watching the Chargers run the ball, you would think, okay, can the Raiders do that against the Jets in that defense? And they're going to have to. and it's not the rah-rah nature of what's going on with the Raiders too. I think their identity of the team is to run the football and be physical, right? I have it as a pick'em, just like it is, right?
It's the market.
I might have a play on this one. It might be part of my parlay.
I think you have to keep in mind there's 20 times more Jets fans here than there were Giants. The room rates are triple what they were. Okay. We have 250 people RSVP'd for a Jets party here tonight at Underhang. The stadium dynamic is going to be different than it was last week.
It will be, but they're at home last week against the Chargers with the Jets fans, right? And it's like, I don't know, going on the road with Jets fans, I don't know how different Zach Wilson's going to be. Jets. Yeah.
Good point. They were at home.
And they scored 6 points.
Right.
Well, this is the Lombardi line.
Can we see a backup quarterback, though? I don't know if Zach finishes this one.
Simeon season?
Yeah.
Coming up on the DraftKings Network is Pablo Torre. Here on VSiN, it is Sharp Money at the top of the hour. For Mike Palm, for Mike Pritchard, for our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew in the back behind the glass. I'm Baby Bebe saying best of luck this weekend. We will see you guys next Friday.